Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So the Make It Practical segment is a place where we try to break down those theological concepts. It's nice to have the nice verses and the nice thoughts and the nice virtues and values, but how do we apply them practically in our lives? So we're here to break it all down. And this week, our focus in the segment has been how to deal with addiction, right? Yes, you're Christian. Yes, you believe in the power of God, but tell me how it actually works on a day-to-day basis. And we were speaking about it all. Now, addiction is a killer, right? It feels like death, but the gospel brings about resurrection. That's hope being provided in the word of God, that you can live even from this supposed death of addiction. Not just someday, but even now, Christ is ready to provide you with the healing, with the resurrection. Now today, we reflect on the promise that no story is too far gone and no person is beyond redemption. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've gone to, no matter the circumstances, God can make a difference. In the tomb is empty for a reason, right? It changes everything. And Pastor will help us now. Pastor Francis, good morning to you once again and welcome.
Hello, Yami.
We're hearing you now. Good morning for this.
Well, thanks a lot. Very good morning there in the studio. Stu, this is Pastor Kauta, and would want to welcome you as we finalize our presentation in this week.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, thank you so much for this. Thank you. No, thank you for being available and for joining us and for guiding us as we talk all things addiction and how help is offered. Now, today, we are saying hope starts right here. Hope starts right here. What does resurrection look like in the life of someone who has been ravaged by addiction, is trying to find a space to resurrect and to recover?
Well, thanks a lot. It is important to realize that the majority of people expect resurrection to be dramatic and sudden, is exactly what happened in the life of Jesus.
Okay.
But in recovery, when you talk about recovery of an addict, someone addicted to as an addiction, recovery is often slow, sometimes quiet, sometimes progressive. It may not be dramatic. So we are looking at how practical, how can we make resurrection practical in the life of addicts. We need to see that resurrection always begins in the mind.
Okay.
They start having a new way of thinking, seeing themselves valuable again, beginning to believe change is possible. So that is basically when you talk about resurrection happening in the life of someone recovering from addiction. It may not be an instant event that is happening, because healing is a progress. Healing is not a destiny. It's a journey. We are talking about a journey of someone recovering from addiction. So it has to happen in bits. Now we need to see people believing that it is possible to have for them to be healed. And this is a journey of recovery. Is not a destination that may happen in an overnight.
Okay. It's a journey, not a destination. And I think that's very important. And maybe let's talk about some of the challenges that happened on this journey. I mean, when you talk journey, sometimes you hit a pothole, you get a tire puncture, you must park on the side of the road to change. Sometimes you hit a roadblock, you must be delayed. Sometimes they are fixing the road, there's a stop and go, you must wait 30 minutes to pass through this small strip of road. How do people hold on to hope, especially when we talk about addiction? One of the key things that happens as people try to recover is chances of relapse are very much possible and sometimes actually do happen. How do they hold on to hope when they sometimes, like a dog, return to their vomit?
Because we are talking about addiction from a Christian perspective, it is very important for us to read a verse in Proverbs 24:16. Mm-hmm. Because we want to be comprehensive as we deal with this issue. We have time, we use it well. Mm-hmm. For people to understand when lapses happen, when some failures happen in the journey of healing and recovery, does it mean the entire hope is dashed?
Yeah.
We want to see that we can still hold on to the hope. Hope when these things happen, when there is backsliding, there is some difficulties arise. Someone was trying to recover from substance addiction and like is back to. Does it mean the church, the family, and also the addict has lost the entire hope? Are we there in the book of Proverbs 24:16?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, let's read it quickly. Proverbs 24:16. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity.
So basically, we've seen and we have said that this is a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
It's a journey of falling, rising, recovery, healing, until full progress is attained. So most of times, these things will happen that they are probably lapses. There are some shortcomings that come in the journey of someone trying to recover from addiction. But we need to understand that falling does not erase the progress that was made so far. If someone was trying to recover from an addiction and at some point in life or maybe in the process, there comes these lapses. They do not entirely erase the progress that was done so far. It does not mean that the journey towards recovery now has been reset to zero. No, this is someone already in the process of recovering. And it is just like the way a child falls. When a child is walking and he has fallen, it does not mean now that the child can no longer rise up and walk again. It does not mean that the child has unlearned how to walk. So it does not mean because these lapses have happened that the person has already unlearned the process of recovery or maybe the steps that he was undertaking towards recovery. So these are just things that normally happen. And it is possible, but there's still hope for someone to rise up and to continue walking again to the journey of recovery.
Yeah, certainly. You know, you make mention of this word hope, Muruti, and I think a potent word. I want to just share some quick verses here as I want to ask this question. Romans chapter 5. I'll just read it quickly, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified, says Paul in chapter 5, verses 1 of Romans, justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now, here's the part I want to go to. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Then comes verse number 5, which is the cap of it all. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Beautiful, beautiful statement right there for this. I want us to just consider then to say, how does one hold on to this kind of hope? How does one believe in a new walk of life when they're still in brokenness, when they're still can't see because of the mist of tears that always fill their eyes, when they're still dazed sometimes because they're still having strains of addiction still running through their veins? How do they hold on to this hope that we're talking about?
Well, now this is where the tension is in the life of a Christian or the person trying to recover from addiction. But sometimes we will see brokenness, we will see some efforts that have been, as in some natural efforts that normally come out to drag the handicap or the victim back to the old ways. But we need to understand that when we are talking about resurrection in a Christian life to someone facing addiction, we are basically saying the process of healing has started, but not yet perfect. The resurrection has already happened, but the perfection is still ongoing on the progress. So a brokenness does not deny resurrection.
Okay.
When we see those are gray areas, when we see those are challenges, those are scars, those struggles, it does not deny that the resurrection has begun. It does not deny that the process of someone healing from addiction and recovering has begun. Mm-hmm. So these are just tensions of fear, tensions of imperfection. You see also the Satan or maybe the sin is trying to fight back. You are not, it's just a process. It is just a new direction, mm-hmm. not a full destination. So these things will happen. These are just tensions. Living those tensions means that you are still accepting. You are not perfect. You're also refusing shame. You do not want to go back to the old days. You also trust in God for this long process, because it's really a long process. It's not something you can finish within a day. So when this tension arises, it does not mean that the entire process of healing has been cancelled. So you are already in the process of healing, manger on the power of God, the resurrection power. I was reading from, I think it was in Romans, that Bible says that the power that raised Christ from death it lives in our mortal bodies.
Amen.
So the process is still happening. God is working with us. The community of believers are with us. The family is with us. The church is with us, and we have got nothing to fear completely, because God is guiding us. Despite that, such issues and such gray areas, and we sometimes recur in the life of someone recovering from addiction.
Amen. Amen. I love that verse. The power of that resurrected Christ is still at work in our mortal bodies. Thank you so much for that. Now, it's usually a challenge, Buruti, because when you're talking recovery from addiction, you want to see yourself no longer using, no longer returning to whatever it is that you were battling with. How do you differentiate between progress and perfection? Does progress mean perfection? And how can you celebrate the one even if you have not yet received the other?
Well, it is good to understand that progress and perfection are two things. And healing is more about progress more than perfection.
Okay.
So this is a journey that requires encouragement, not pressure, to be fully recovered. So we basically were looking at the progress part of it, the effort, the small victory.
Okay.
Now we are looking at the progress, not basically the performance. We are looking at a person who has now fewer triggers, who has now fewer cravings, who is now has a better self-awareness, who is also more honest. So these are basically the things that we are looking. We are not looking entirely at perfection, because sometimes perfection is unrealistic. Also, perfection can be discouraging. It can be a trap that leads someone to shame. Because basically, we talk about someone who is perfect, because this is a long process. And basically, when we're talking about long process, we are not saying that it is not possible within a certain period of time, but it is a process of willing. For some, it may be shorter, for others, it may be longer. But what we need to understand is that we are celebrating, and we are like celebrating those efforts, not the outcome, the effort that someone is now calling for help, someone is truthful about his progress, someone has shown the signs that he's willing to come out of this, like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
He meant that self-awareness, that he is living in shame, he is living in sin, in addiction, and he meant that effort. And even before it was completed and going back, it was a long process. So we are basically measuring on the progress, not merely the perfection. That if someone, you are taking through the process of healing, someone who is addicted to substance abuse, and now because he has not stopped them entirely, then you lose hope, or maybe you think they are failures, they cannot be redeemed fully. No, let's work on the progress, the efforts, and that is where we need to measure on. We're measuring on the mentor, which is the progress, the willingness to come out of this challenge, and the ability to help them fully recover from whichever addiction has ravaged them.
I love that. I love that. No, focus on those small victories. It's the small steps that get you to finish the journey, not the big jumps. And no. Don't worry about the full journey. Worry about today. And then I think it's one author who says it should always be onwards and upwards. Don't worry about getting to the destination. Worry about saying today I made progress. I think that's a beautiful way to look at it. Buruti, as we close off, John 14, verse 19, one of the most powerful verses in scripture, at least for me, Christ speaking about how, because he lives, we shall live also. And I think as we close off, we want to look at the message of Christ, the empty tomb. Speak to us about how that is actually a promise of deliverance for the addict and how that can be something that people can hold on to as we conclude this series?
Basically, the fast and the testimony, that is very powerful. And to the addicts, basically, you are being told that you can rest again. Your story is not finished. Mm. Your story is not over. God specializes in impossible situations. Those things that appear impossible.
Yeah.
Shame is not your home. Death is not your home. You see, sometimes addiction looks like death. Death, someone's future is destroyed. Someone's family is destroyed. Someone's destiny, someone's dignity. So basically, the verse is telling us that God specializes in impossible situations. Amen. You cannot live in shame forever. It's not your home. Your home, that the grave cannot hold what God has redeemed. So the grave, the power of God, the grave could not hold Jesus. Even those substances, those drunks, they have got no power to hold someone, to make someone captive, whom God has declared free, whom God wants to save.
Yes.
So it is a powerful, testimony of the redemptive power of Christ, that when God says you have to come out, even those that drunks have got no power to hold you a slave. You have the power. There's power. There's hope. There is great glory in coming out of these challenges to live in a glorious life, that which honors God. So it is possible for all the handicaps, whichever sin they are struggling with, just like Christ rose, they can also be set free. That is not their place. That is where Satan has put them, and there's power to bring them out. And the power is available. The power is resident. The spirit that raised Christ from death lives in our mortal bodies.
Yes.
It's already available. That power is still there. And those people can be free and be freed. And Jesus said that I think it's John 8:4, that whoever the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
Ah.
Amen and amen and amen. Whoever the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you so much, Mfundisi Swami. May God bless you, and we truly want to appreciate you for taking us through this week. It has been quite profound, quite enlightening, and we want to just appreciate the awareness and the encouragement you've given us.
Amen. I really appreciate for so this time. God bless you and bless your entire team in the studios as you continue to serve the Lord. And may you be blessed abundantly. Yes, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Take care and keep well.
God bless you too.
Amen. That is our pastor, Francis Kauto, who's been with us this week, taking a look at what it means for you, for me, to receive victory out of whatever challenge we might be having, especially in the area of addiction. And the pastor says the empty tomb, the empty grave, says that you too can resurrect. And that's the promise of Christ, right? There is a power that raised him from the dead. That power is available for you even today. This conversation as a series will be available as a podcast. So do visit our channel, our website rather, sidmedia.org, and you'll be able to get that on our podcast link. And then you'll also be able to visit our very own app, right? You can download that from your Play Store, your App Store, and you'll be able to get our podcast as well.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.